Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Somebody brought the rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory for all you've done. I thank you for your anointing that's here this night to destroy every yoke. I thank you, Father God, for your children's spiritual ears that they can hear what you're saying tonight. And I thank you, God, for your angelic host that are walking around through the church ministering to your people. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning you heard about the throne room presence. And tonight we're going to talk about simplicity of heart. But first I want Nancy to give her testimony about how she quit smoking. People think God's just going to rip it out of you and it's that. That doesn't how it works. Will you tell how you did yours, Nancy? The same way with fasting. You just think, well, God's just going to supernaturally not make me hungry, but that's not true. No. Go ahead.
So I had been a smoker for like 20 years, and God was in the middle of cleaning me up and getting me ready for some things that he was doing in my life. And he said if I wanted to have these things that I'd have to give up smoking because of it being a sin. And for 3 weeks, I shook really bad. It looked like I had Tourette syndrome. Every day I had to get up and decide, you know, I was not going to smoke and I had to work with God. You know, and he didn't take away the symptoms. He didn't take away the cravings. But he did give me the strength to overcome it.
So it wasn't a one overnight, bloop, and it was gone.
No, it was 3 weeks.
I remember that. And then in return, you got heavy, right? Everybody said, well, quit smoking, I'll get heavy. Yeah, I'd rather be heavy than smoke. Amen. So I wonder how to give you your testimony, because I hear too many people saying, well, God just has to take this. No, he doesn't. He didn't put the first one in your finger to begin with. The same way with gluttony. You know, he doesn't have to take your food away from you. You have to decide, I'm just going to push the plate away. Because if you read the word, a glutton will go to hell too. We don't want to say that, but that is the truth. It's right in the word. All right. All right. Well, I got a few phone calls saying how blessed everybody was this morning. Let's just see how blessed we're going to be tonight. All right. So God's talking about simplicity of heart. And let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. This was after the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they went out and they was preaching. They didn't go out saying, look who I am. They weren't boasting. The word of God said they did with simplicity of heart. Now, definition of gospel simplicity is the gift of an undivided heart. It's a gift of an undivided heart. It also means freedom from cunning of duplicity. And duplicity means deceitfulness and double dealing. All right? We can't have any of that in us if we're going to do what God's calling us forth to do. God says, my children must come to me as little children. No longer can you come to me with your agendas and your flesh. You will never walk in the supernatural until you learn to come to me with simplicity of heart. And what's simplicity of heart? An undivided heart. Right? No deceitfulness and no double dealing. Your heart must be ready to receive instruction from the Father, and your heart must be open for rebuke. I was glad he said open for rebuke, because a lot of us don't want God to rebuke us. But if we're going to do what God calls us forth to do, he has to rebuke us. Because we are flesh, real, real bad flesh. And our flesh wants to do real bad things, right? It wants to be in control. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul stated, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. Let's read that again. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. And 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, for we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So he says, we are not peddling the word. And then God went on to say, well, he said it first, and I put the scripture there. God says, many, and I say many, are out there peddling my word with their own logistical notions, but I need those who will go forth as my son Jesus did, with simplicity of heart and all lowliness, and minister in truth and in power. All right? Many, and I say many, are out there peddling my word with their own logistical notions, but I need those who will go forth as my son Jesus did, with simplicity of heart and all lowliness, and minister in truth and power. My son Jesus never had his own agenda. He was forever at the throne of grace, seeking the anointing to speak my word and deliver signs, wonders, and miracles. He said Jesus never had his own agenda. John 5:19 says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus did not have his own agenda. He had the Father's agenda. We are not supposed to have our own agenda. We're supposed to have the Father's agenda. And John 12:49 says, for I have not, Jesus speaking, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. You see that? Now I've got to give a little bit of a testimony here. Something was happening, and I was going to call this person and talk to him about it, and the Holy Spirit said, you better not. So today I got a phone call, and I understood why God said, you better not. I'd have got myself in trouble. So you see, if you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, if you have your spirit open for God to speak to you, you will never do anything that you're not supposed to do. And you won't cause any problems. Are you understanding this? Too many of us are going out there just doing. We're never listening, or else we want somebody else to tell us what to do. And we need to be listening for God's voice ourselves and let him tell us what he wants us to do. We're going into a new dispensation of time, whether you know it or not. We're already started in there. And in this new dispensation of time, we cannot do what we used to do. Religion no longer has any place in God's agenda. It never did, but he's been telling us it's spirit called to spirit. So if you're going to work for God in this new dispensation of time, you're going to have to be a spirit person. You're going to have to give up everything you've been taught, and you're going to have to let the Holy Spirit teach you what you are to do and how you are to do it. Now, John, where are we at, Nancy? 8:28. John 8:28 says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. You see that? I'm so glad that David Crowder wrote this song, Red Letter. I'm totally shocked the amount of people were saying they didn't know that was Jesus speaking in the Word. And I heard that again tonight on the radio, and I thought, God, you know exactly what you're doing. And the person was all excited, and they said, if you open up your Bible, every place you see the red letters, that was actually Jesus speaking. And you know, things we see, I told you, you know things that other people don't know. The things we take for granted, other, you really, God sends you forth so you can minister those things to other people, because you'd be surprised what the body of Christ does not know. Are you listening to this? The things they don't know. All right, Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 2:1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Jesus was a prophet, wasn't he? Paul was a prophet, wasn't he? And Paul didn't want to know anything about anybody. He said, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see that? Paul said he wanted everything he said to be from the Father and not from his own flesh. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And, you know, I was sitting thinking the other night when I was studying, and I thought about, you know, this ministry. God told me right up front that what he would do is send ministers into me, and I would train them, and then they would go forth. And what he was saying was he would send in the lost and the dying, who he had earmarked to minister for him. They would get cleaned up, and then God would teach them, and then they would go forth, and they would minister the gospel. So my attitude is that each and every person that comes through the door is somebody that God wants to use as a minister of the gospel in one way, shape, or form. So my job is to teach you. And how do I do that? I do that by sitting at the feet of Jesus, having him give me the message so that you will hear the right word at the right time. I was telling a couple people about a dream I had the other night. I dreamt that I was laying on my stomach on a hill in the grass, but I had in my hand a big rope, and on the end of this rope was a big square of ground, and a bunch of people were on this big square of ground. They were out in the river, out in the ocean. There was people walking around me on the ground where I was laying. They weren't helping me pull the rope. I was pulling the rope, and they were screaming, "Help me, help me," and I kept saying, "Hold on, I'm going to pull you in." And I kept saying, "Hold on, I'm going to pull you in." And so then I got awake. And what that meant was that the souls that God has placed under me, then I have to teach them and pull them in. See, I was pulling them into safety, pulling them out of the troubled waters into safety. And that's my job. And so I have to continually be before the Father to seek his face so I know what he once said. And, you know, he would give me a message for just one person. And what I'm saying is he'll send one person into church, and that message will be for that one person. That has happened so many times. And that person will glean from that and go forth and really do a great works for the Father. So if each one of you, you know, you don't want to be known for your excellence of speech, your charisma, or anything like that. What you want to be known for is the fact that you walk in the Spirit. All right? And that you are Spirit-led and you're not flesh-led. So 1 Corinthians, where I'm at now. All right, God says, "Where are my true ministers of the gospel? Where are those who will spend time at the throne room of my heart, the throne room of his heart, until they hear a word of truth to take to my peoples? Where are the lowly ones, those who know that without me they can do nothing? Charisma will not get you the crown. Charisma will not free the captives. The anointing that destroys every yoke will do all the above, and only the anointing." Did you hear that? Where are the lowly ones? Those who know that without me they can do nothing. Charisma will not get you the crown. Charisma will not free the captives. The anointing that destroys every yoke will do all the above, and only the anointing. You can rub a person's hair right off their head, and it's not going to help anything if you don't have the anointing. All right? So you better make sure that you have the anointing with you if you're going to go out there and do anything for the Father. God says, where are you operating from? Are you operating from the soulish realm, or are you operating from the spirit realm? And I heard that Brett, Nancy, and Adam did a terrific job of teaching on that at a GLOW Saturday morning about the soulish realm, right, and the spiritual realm. So God says, where are you operating from? And each one you need to think about, where am I operating from? Are you operating from the soulish realm, or are you operating from the spirit realm? And he says, do not, but you know, I want to stop there because so many ministers, and it really makes me mad, control people. You should not be under a controlling minister. They should not try to separate you from your family, your friends, or anybody. They just shouldn't. That Jesus did not do that. You should be free to go and come as you please. And they should not be dictating to you what you need to do. I mean it. And some of you are sitting under dictatorship that's going to take you right out of the will of the Father. It's going to cause you to lose your anointing that you already have. I get really upset with ministers who think they have to have them right under their people, right under their fingers, and they keep separating them from other people. Don't sit under somebody like that. They are not listening to the Father. God says, do not be deceived. The enemy of your soul will lead you into his deceptions, and he will allow you to perform for him, but that is not lasting. You know, if you're operating from the soulish realm, you will do signs, wonders, and miracles, because and you will prophesy. Because you're, the enemy will let you do that, but it's not lasting. Nothing really comes from it, and it will fade. All right, what is lasting, God says, what is lasting is my everlasting covenant. That's what's lasting, is his everlasting covenant. And Jeremiah 32:38 says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This is God speaking. Then I will give them one heart and one way. Why? That they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. You should fear God. You really should. Why? For the good of yourself and your children after you. And God says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. God said, I make an everlasting covenant to you that I will not turn away from you from doing good for you. All right? Everybody get to stand in your spirit. God's going to hold you accountable for every soul that he brings your way. You young kids, you sit in the house of God, you hear the word. You're going to be held accountable for those souls in church in school, wherever you're at, that you don't tell them about Jesus Christ. You're going to be held accountable for that. God's going to ask you, why didn't you tell your friend about me? I don't care if you're young or old or what you are. We all will be held accountable before the Father at some time in our lifetime. Jeremiah 7:23 says, but this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. This is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice. Are you obeying the voice of God? If you do that, he said, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Then he says, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you. Why? That it may be well with you. Then Jeremiah 11:1 says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, the everlasting covenant God made, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. All you have to do is obey God, and then you'll be his people, and he will be your God. Your life is not easy. It never has been. It's never going to be easy. There's always one battle after another battle. But at least we know that we are battling for, we're not battling the air. We are battling for our crown, which one day we shall receive. Right? Don't allow people to say, well, what if near you die, this wasn't real? Well, you know what? I know it is real. And what if one day when you die, you're going to wish you would have realized it was real? Don't let somebody pull you off course by saying that to you. God says, my covenant will endure the test of time. No man can annul it, for I, the Lord thy God, spoke it. My covenant, God says, will endure to the test of time. No man can annul it, for I, the Lord thy God, spoke it. In other words, if you obey the voice of God, there's nobody in this world that can take you out. Children, God says, children, come before the throne of grace this day and receive of me the simplicity that my son Jesus portrayed while walking upon the earth. The same Jesus that you crucified is the same Jesus that spoke the truth of my kingdom with great signs, wonders, and miracles. Yet he did not esteem himself greater than you. I can't deal with people who want to be big and seen. You're supposed to portray Jesus Christ. When they look at you, they should see Jesus. You know, not you, but Jesus. You shouldn't have your picture plastered all over the walls and look, this is a great bishop so-and-so. Get out of here. What we should have is Jesus plastered on us. And when people look at us, all they see is Jesus oozing out of us. That's the only way we're going to be able to deal with what is coming down the road right now, guys. And what's coming down the road is really bad. Perversion is horrible. Horrible. And all this stuff they're teaching our children, really, the news and TV is not worth watching. It's nothing but a bunch of junk. And it's taking our kids right down into hell if we don't guide our children. Matthew 20, verse 27 said, whoever, Jesus speaking, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. What I told you was, when Jesus come with signs, wonders, and miracles, he did not esteem himself greater than you. So then Matthew 20, verse 27 says, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to be served, but he came to give his life for you. Why is it we all want to be served? Why is it we all want to be waited on hand and foot? Why is it that we would think that people should bow to us? We're not God, and you don't bow to God anyhow. You reverence him. Amen? Come on. God says, what is simplicity of heart, you ask? It is humble submission to the Father. I am your Father, and I only ask you to do what my word declares you to do. God says, when my son promised me he would do my bidding, he never changed course. He stayed on the path of the original agenda we agreed upon. But you, my children, you change course at the blink of an eye. Simplicity of heart is when you take up your cross daily, and when it seems too much to bear, you bring that cross to me and ask me for more grace to carry it. Isn't that awesome? My son came daily to the throne room of grace to receive strength to do the things he knew he must endure as my son. He knew he would have to suffer many things and be treated with contempt, but he stayed the course because of his humble submission to me, his Father. Do you know why so many people, pastors, are dropping out of the pulpits? Do you know why so many people are dropping out of the house of God? Because they don't want to endure the contempt and the abuse that they're going through. God told me when I first started, he said, you read all about my son Jesus, and you're going to have to go through what my son Jesus did, and I don't want you complaining. Amen? So if you really think Jesus is all that and then some, then look at what he went through. Then go ahead and carry your cross for God and quit complaining. Isaiah 53:2 says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. They're talking about Jesus. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And what did God say? He said Jesus knew he would have to suffer many things and be treated with contempt, but he stayed the course because of his humble submission to me, his Father. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you're really going to say, God, use me, then you better be ready for all the suffering you're going to have to go through. And you better quit your moaning and groaning and complaining, because you're going to lose your anointing if you don't. And I'm sorry, but people don't have to bow to you. They don't have to acknowledge you. They really don't. I'm so glad, you know, when I was first started, I was always on the road doing evangelistic work. And my daughter went with me and she sang. We'd go to the church or where we was going. They would say, oh, look at Sister Teresa. And wouldn't say a word to me. They'd grab her by the hand and say, come on, we got a special seat for you. Take her and seat her up front. And I trailed along. But I know that was God. He did not want me to get caught up in pride. He wanted me to stay humble and lowly. And I went up there and I would sit down and they was going gushing all over her. And then they would call me up the pulpit. I'd get up there and God would move with great signs, wonders, and miracles, prophesy like you wouldn't believe, because I stayed humble. I didn't get upset that they did that. Are you listening here? What would you do if that happened to you? What would you do, Barbara, if you were head of a GLOW and the GLOW leader came in and instead of recognizing you, they recognized some little lowly person sitting there and ignored you totally and completely? You got to think about that. How would you react? Think about that. All right. God says you can no longer be you. You must be more like Jesus in every phase of your life. There is no other agenda than heaven's agenda. You must sit at my feet daily and be instructed by me before you can accomplish anything for the day. Be constructive in everything you do. In order to be constructive, it must first come from the throne room. I thought that was interesting. In order for anything to be constructive, you have to take time for the throne room. I will not change to suit your agenda, God's saying. I will only anoint what I have instructed you to do. Anything else is but dung in my eyes. In other words, if you decide to do something, he's not going to anoint it. Are you listening? It has to be God if it's going to go anywhere. Are you understanding this? You can write 50 books, but if it's not anointed by God, they're not going to sell. Are you listening? You can have 10 churches, but if it's not anointed by God, they're going to fall. It has to be God in it. It has to be God anointing it, everything that you do. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what'd they see? Boldness. You have to be bold. And I have to say I am bold. God's made me bold because I was being beat up. He said, I'm going to give you a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel, and they won't beat you up anymore. All right? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, see that? Well, I have a doctorate degree. Well, big whoop. Did the anointing come with the doctorate? And I'm not being ignorant, but did the anointing come with the doctorate degree? I was going to go to Bible school when God called me. He said, don't you dare. I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. And somebody was even ready to pay my way because I don't want you to go. My Holy Spirit will teach you all that you need to know. All right? All right, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. See, that they realized they'd been with Jesus. When they see an uneducated person doing what they do, they know that they've been with Jesus. I remember one time, you know, when we had revival here all the time for months and years. There was a young man, a man who came, he was an older man, 90 years old, I believe, and he came with his daughters, and he said, can I please preach? I said, sure. And he got up and preached like a house on fire. And he says, I have never been so free to preach under the anointing as I am here in this building. And all the years I've ever preached, I've never preached under this kind of an anointing. I mean, he was just all over the place. And he talked and talked about that. It was the anointing. It was in, here in the building. You understand that? This man had been preaching all of his life. And when he was all done, I just realized what he just did. He just took, I'll say, he took a chapter, I'll just say out of Acts. He took a chapter of Acts and preached that whole chapter. It wasn't Acts, but, and such an anointing. I thought he'd made up some sort of a sermon, you know. But here, all he did was preach the word of God, word for word. And God just moved in a mighty way. Signs, wonders, and miracles followed. Luke 19:47 says, and he, and I put down Jesus, was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and leaders of the people sought to destroy him. People are going to try to tear down your ministry, guys. Get that in your head right now. The devil's not going to let you just sail through life and tear up his kingdom. He's going to try to tear down your kingdom first. And Luke 20:1 says, now it happened on one of those days, as Jesus taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. Why did I put that on? What happened? Oh, I know what I wanted to get out here. Now it happened on one of those days as he taught. Jesus taught the word. That's what I was getting at there. He taught the word. And down here he was teaching here. And he taught the word. Now in Matthew 12:15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there and great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. So he preached, he taught, and he healed. Now, you know, you're ministers, right? These are the things you're supposed to be doing. In Matthew 12:22, then one was brought to Jesus who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. So there he cast out demons. We're supposed to be just like Jesus. We're supposed to be having the same type of ministry that he has. That's what I'm getting at here. In Matthew 14:35, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. He was so anointed that his clothes were so anointed that people knew, all I have to do is touch his clothes and I'm going to be healed. Did you see what he did here? First of all, he taught, he preached, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he was so anointed that his clothes healed people. Y'all don't have that. So don't sit there and look so smug at me. I'm trying to teach you something. Now, this is where you have to be. If you're going to do a works for God and be a witness for him, this is what has to happen. Are you listening? So we see that Jesus came to teach, preach, heal the sick, cast out demons, be so anointed that all people had to do was touch his garments and they were healed. Jesus did this because he had simplicity of heart. And what's simplicity of heart? A heart undivided. He had a heart that panted after his father, and he wasn't going to pant after anybody else but his father. He had a heart that wanted to do what his father wanted him to do, and he wasn't going to do anything that anybody else told him to do except his father. The Jesus you've read about in the Bible is the same Jesus who is alive and well today. He has never changed his purpose of helping people. So why have we? I want you to think about that. Why have we changed our purpose about helping people? Well, let them fend for themselves. You know, and churches don't try to build up churches. Churches are constantly tearing down churches. Why? Because they're jealous of something you're doing that they can't do. Are you understanding this? And we're supposed to be a hospital, but we're so much like Kent General that it's sickening. You know, we don't heal the people, we kill the people. You see what I'm saying? Body of Christ, we are not supposed to be kicking our fellow brothers and sisters when they're down. We're supposed to be helping them up nicely, not begrudgingly. All right? In the Gospels, we see Jesus healing and delivering people at every turn. They didn't have to beg and plead for him to touch them. He was always willing to help, always looking for an opportunity to show them the Father's love. Now read this again. In the Gospels, we see Jesus healing and delivering people at every turn. They didn't have to beg and plead for him to touch them. He was always willing to help, always looking for an opportunity to show them the Father's love. This is what a body of Christ should look like. nobody should have to beg and plead for us to listen to them or to help them, deliver them, or whatever their need is. We should be just like Jesus and give them, just like Peter, was it Peter said, gold and silver we have not, but what we have we give you. Reach down and heal. Told a man to rise up and walk. I don't have money to give you, but I have an anointing to heal you so you can work. Amen. Right? Come on, church. You want to be just like Jesus? You want to be famous out there? Well, then be just like Jesus. Be humble, submissive, have a simplicity, a heart that's undivided. And go out there not trying to make yourself a name, but make Jesus a name. Make Jesus a name. There is Galatians 3:1, isn't it? Yeah, I put down Galatians 3:1. Paul asked this question, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." So I'm asking you this night, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you're not doing the will of the Father? Who has bewitched you that you're not doing what the Father's, obeying the Father's voice and doing what he's telling you to do? And who has bewitched you to the point that you want to be seen all the time? It doesn't bother me, you know, that if I'm sick like I was this morning, I got instantly sick early this morning, and I called Brett and said, Brett, you know, God says, tell Brett to do it. He'll do a good job. So I said, call Brett. No, I know I didn't call. I sent him an email hoping he would get it because he didn't answer the phone. But anyhow, so he did it. It didn't bother me that I had to have somebody else stand here and preach because I know who I am in Christ. See, that's the problem. You don't know who you are in Christ. So you don't want to miss church because, after all, you know, though they won't like you as well, they'll like the other speaker. See, I don't go down that road. I don't believe in that agenda. We are all anointed from God. You're not anointed from me. You're anointed from God. And I know that the anointing's in this building because God's called me to this building, but that's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact that if you don't work for your anointing, you're not going to have an anointing. All right? And you know, and if you don't have simplicity of heart, an undivided heart with God, then God's not going to make sure that you go anywhere. You're going to stay right where you're at. You're never going to grow. Are you listening to that? And, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, well, there she sits in that old rundown church. This old rundown church is more for God than some of the great big fancy cathedrals out there. And I'm not blowing no horn. I just know that to be a fact. I get call after call after call about that. Your church is so anointed. We just love it coming there. You know, it's not something I think about. It's what people say. But, you know, there's only one person that anoints it, and that's God. And I, as a pastor here, I have to keep listening for God's voice. I have to sit in his presence, and I have to obey what God says. I can't do my own agenda. Or sometimes I like to teach on something else, but God said this is what he once taught on. Tonight, simplicity of heart, I think it's a very good topic that he used. And I think that if you don't take, I know that if you don't take it to heart and start becoming like Jesus, you're not going to be around much longer. Because God has the work to do, and he can't do it with prideful people. So I said, there is simplicity in the cross of Christ, and God is calling us to this simplicity tonight. Remember, simplicity is a gift of an undivided heart. Where is your heart at tonight is what you should be asking yourself. Is your heart fully, completely, 100% sold out to Christ? If it isn't, then you don't have simplicity of heart. If you're still worrying about, you know, I can't do my sin, God will smack me on the head. Well, yeah, he will. And no, he won't. He'll just walk by and leave you. It's because he said he'll just take his grace from you. What has grace? I know God said this to ask you one time in one of these messages he gave. What has sin done for you? Except bring you further down into the pigsty, right? And you know, and I know that I've been ministering to people for years upon years upon years, and they come crying, you know, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. The reason why it's going wrong is because you have not obeyed the very first thing that God's told you to do. That's the truth. Now, it's your turn now. It's your turn to move. You've got to move. You have to determine, I'm going to go all the way with God. I'm going to obey everything God tells me to do, or just stop. stop right where you're at. I didn't say you're going to go to hell. I just said you won't ever move out into that supernatural realm. The message he's given me for Wednesday night is really different. It's unique, but I think it's very exciting. You won't ever move out into that other realm that God wants you to go into. You just won't ever do it. So what do you want with what do you want from God? If all you want is what you have tonight, well then that's fine. We love you and I just bless you, I really do. But there's so much more than what you have tonight. So much more that God wants to give you. So much he wants to take you so much deeper than you've ever gone before. This is what we're doing is just surface stuff. He wants to take us so deep that we'll never ever want to come out of the deepness of God. Now, when I was first called on the scene, he called me and he had me go around and minister to preachers who were in sin. And he did that for about, I think, 20 years or something like that. And you know what? Those preachers never changed. Even when God called them out and told them what their sins were, they never changed. And now a lot of them are dead and a lot of them don't have their churches because they would not relent and change their hearts. Right now, God's calling us to minister to the lost and the dying that's out there on the streets that Elaine ministers to. He's going to be sending them in by the groves, but he's not going to send them in to people who cannot minister to them. Too many of you are listening to false prophets. You need to know that the prophet you sit under is a true prophet, and don't be hoodwinked by them either. Watch their fruit. Watch their fruit. Somebody said about me, well, my ex-husband said about me about a year ago, well, she used to be, besides one of the miracles work, she raised the dead and people were healed just by walking by her, touching her clothes, or she walked by them. How come she can't heal herself? Well, you know, God does the healing and he does it in his timing. That did not bother me. But what he did was cause the people round about that he was talking to made them doubt. Now he's in trouble with God because he should have never said that. All right? And he's become very sickly since he made that statement. You better watch how you come against God's anointed ones is what I'm trying to say here. You just better watch that. If you don't understand something, you need to do is just take it before the Father and ask the Father. And if he doesn't tell you, then it's none of your business. You know? And God's even told me, that's none of your business, daughter. Just move on. That's none of your business. And see, a lot of you, why are you going to God and ask about other people anyhow? Because you're nosy. It's not because you want to help. It's just because you're nosy and you want to get the latest gossip. And gossip, God is not a gossiper. I don't know why he's saying this, but this is what he's saying. Simplicity of heart. Where are you at tonight? Is your heart 100% sold out to God, or is your heart divided? Take time and just really contemplate that. You're getting ready to start your own ministry. So get yourself prepared. Okay? Thursday night. God spoke to me that today. We're supposed to get that started. So you'll begin on a Thursday night meeting. You'll be the preacher. You know. So we'll get a date. I'll let you know when God says it started. But you have proven yourself to God beyond measure, and now he's ready to use you to minister to the people. And see, this is what I like for God to say, you know, and I like to see that because I watch you people come in and you're just babes in Christ, but then I watch you grow. You keep shedding off the junk and shedding off the junk and shedding off the junk till all that's left is Jesus. And then God starts using you for a ministry. All right? So tonight the altar is open for you. Those of you who have sold yourself totally and completely out to God, and you have an undivided heart, and God wants to give you a special anointing to send you forth so you can minister. I'm hearing him say to the wayward ones on the streets and even in the house. There's wayward people sitting in the house of God all the time. And God's going to give you a special anointing to minister to those.